in the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
Good morning to you.
And I know where I'm going to be after I get off the air today.
Where?
I'm going to be at the St. Peter and Paul Orthodox Church in Santa Rosa.
Oh, that's such a... I forget about that event, but then it always comes around this time of year.
Well, Mr. Michael himself is at the festival. He's probably dispensing some of his world-famous flavored vodkas. But what else besides vodka tasting can we do at the festival this weekend? Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Steve and Chef John. How you guys doing?
Good.
We are doing well. The festival has kicked off at 10 o'clock today, kicks off at 11 o'clock tomorrow at 850, that's at Olga Court in Santa Rosa, right off Stony Point Road. It's a half mile north of Todd Road. Look for the gold domes on the church. Mm. It's something, if you've never been, you don't want to miss this festival. When we come to the festival...
We're having a good time here. The turnout's really great. I've been serving my vodka already and everything. The food just cranking out. And
it's
going pretty well.
It's not noon yet.
It's holding up really nice.
Don't you have to wait till noon to serve vodka? No, I guess we don't.
We're talking to Russian people here.
Hey, Michael, what are some of the foods? What are some of the foods we're going to taste this afternoon at the festival?
Oh, we have the pierogi, the pierogi, the stroganoff and stuffed cabbage, and pelmeni, which is Russian ravioli, either served in broth or with sour cream. And there's some Eritrean foods, also vegetable foods and meat with spicy sauces and wonderful homemade desserts. There's so much good stuff here. It's just crazy. We even have fresh squeezed lemonade being sold by one of our little kids in our church. So we're covering all the bases.
So what is it? It's open now. Is that correct?
It's open now and doesn't cost anything to come in.
Oh, that was the next
You buy
question.
Tokens. So, you know, buy all the food and drinks with tokens. They're $1 a token. But to just come in and look around, it doesn't cost anything at all. But everything has, you know, food has prices, and we have shots of vodka, $3 a shot, two shots for five, and all kinds of flavors, and people are enjoying it. It's good.
So what are the
people have been coming here for 20 years.
What are the flavors of vodka this year?
Well, this year we have my classic blackberry, we have root beer, we have chocolate vanilla, we have fresh ginger, we have cherry. And now that I can, I think, legally say it, marijuana vodka.
You know, really?
It's very good, actually.
Yeah?
You'd be amazed at the flavor. It's really something.
And what do you call that?
Yeah, all those flavors.
And that cannabis vodka, is that called Russian Revolution? I'm sorry.
Well, that's a good name for it, wasn't it? No, it's great. People enjoy it and have a great time.
Hey, for those that can't eat enough of this, are there frozen foods to go?
Oh, yes. There's plenty of food pre-frozen in portions. They take it right out of the freezer. You can take it home, like the stuffed cabbage and the pelmeni and pierogi. And just so people know, pierogi is plural. One of them is a pierogi. So if you ask for a single one, you ask for a pierogi, and people will know that you know what you're talking about. And pierogi is plural.
And there's also Russian gift and imports and handicrafts and jewelry for the holiday season.
All kinds of handcrafts. And, part of it is... You might call it a really fancy garage sale. Some things are actually imported from Russia, handmade things, and the famous palyakh, Russian handiworks out of wood in various bowls and serving spoons. All this is a very classic art form. We have plenty of that. We have all kinds of dolls and jewelry, all kinds of things. So something for everybody.
Saturday today, 10 to 3. Sunday tomorrow, 11 to 3. The 25th Annual Christmas Bazaar and Food Fest at St. Peter's and Paul Orthodox Church. It's right on Olga Court off Stony Point Road, a half mile north of Todd Road. Look for those beautiful gold domes on the church. Thank you.
You can't miss it.
You can't miss it. Thanks. We'll see you later, Michael. Thanks for the call.
Okay, I appreciate it. Take care. Thanks
a lot. Our pleasure. Sorry we couldn't have him on the show today, but he was busy dispensing his vodka.
I know. I think last time he was here, he brought food and vodka, and we had a grand old time here.
In the summer, we spoke with Alan Green, who was the founder of the first ever international canned wine competition. Mm-hmm. And I know there's people out there that are scoffing and turning up their nose and going, oh, canned wine. Well, it's a reality. It's here. Believe me, you'll be toasting newlyweds and bar mitzvahs and all kinds of events with canned wine in the next few years. And we promised that we'd have Alan back to introduce this contest to us. And after we chat with Alan, we're going to talk with the two award-winning winemakers that won Best of Show, both red and white wines. Good morning, Alan, and thanks for joining us on the Good Food Hour.
It's great to be here.
Thank you. How many wines were entered in the competition this summer?
We had 200.
Wow.
201 different products entered.
And these are from around the world?
Around the world, a lot from all over the United States. We had Australia, New Zealand, England, Canada represented also.
So canning wine, it's actually a great closure for wine, isn't it? Because no oxygen can get in there, and it keeps it pretty fresh. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct, and they're getting coatings that are really ideal to make sure that the wine doesn't interact with the aluminum, just like with beer cans, mm-hmm. but I think it's a slightly different coating. But there's a lot of research going on to perfect that.
So can wines age in a can?
Well, that's a good question. I really don't know, because wines have not been in cans very much for a long time, although I've got cans going back to the 1930s.
Whoa.
Those wines are not put in there, not put in there designed to age.
Well, because one of the things I remember, there was, you know, maybe a similar uproar about screw tops on wine bottles. And one of the concerns was, well, the wine won't age. And then they determined that, well, it does age. It just ages at a much slower rate, which actually can be a good thing.
Right. It doesn't oxidize,
yes.
But it does age.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When you were judging the wines, this competition was held in Mendocino County in the summer. Did you find wines that predominantly were all good quality? Were there some that were flawed because of maybe uneven coatings on the inside of the can? Or it seems like there's a lot of science that's still in the process of making this a 100% foolproof process.
Well, I do think they're still researching and developing the coatings, but I don't think we didn't find anything that we thought was flawed because of the can or the canning process. If there were some wines that weren't that great, I think it was the fault of the wines that went into the can.
Okay. Not anything that was overly sulfured or things like this?
No.
No. That's,
no.
So the quality of the wines, would you say that they're equal to what you can get out of a bottle? I mean, if you did a tasting, kind of side by side, blind tasting, would people be able to tell that it's from a can?
Well, my colleague Robert Williams, who is our lead judge and who does a lot of research on wine in cans, is doing that very test. And I've only seen preliminary results, but he's done at least two setups with a lot of people. And once the wines are poured into a glass and they don't know if it's from a bottle or a can, generally speaking, as from what I can see, there's no preference for the bottle.
The second annual International Canned Wine Competition is scheduled for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020, in beautiful Boonville, California. Mm. That's in Mendocino County. And thank you so much for calling and checking in with us this morning, Alan. We're going to be talking with Gina, the winemaker from Sands Wine Company, next, who made the wine that was the Best of Show for the Rutherford Napa Valley Riesling. And we're really excited about trying that wine now.
Great. Well, tell her hello for me.
Will do. Thanks again. Alan Green, who founded the International Canned Wine Competition. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And John, are you ready to pop the tab on some Riesling?
Oh, yes.
Okay, back after this.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first first thing they ask me after they tell me how amazing I look is, where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
It's paradise.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
Are the results of your advertising arriving too slow? Now imagine your ad on virtually every smartphone carried by a consumer as they enter your competitor's store. That's what we do at Waterdrop Digital. We handle the details, you get the results. WaterdropDigital.com.
Here's a message from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
Tick-borne diseases are preventable. Use an effective repellent and wear long pants and long-sleeve shirts when outdoors. Don't forget to check yourself, your family, and pets for ticks after outdoor activities.
Are you having a problem with rodents getting inside your home and don't know what to do? The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District offers free advice and home inspections.
Go to msmosquito.com for more info.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner, that'd be me, and Chef John Ash, celebrating our 32nd year, bringing you the best in food and beverages throughout the world. Well, that's a pretty big statement. Why not?
The universe. What the heck?
So we've tasted thousands of wines on this show, both in bottles and certainly in other
boxes.
Yeah. But we have not tasted wine in cans.
No.
So we want to welcome Gina Schober to the show. Gina is co-founder of Sans Wine Company, S-A-N-S, who helped to create the award-winning Riesling that won Best Canned White Wine at the first ever international canned wine competition in Boonville, California. Good morning, Gina.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Of course, yeah. Thanks for having me on your show.
And we're going to have a moment of silence while John pops the tab.
Here we go. This is the, not the romance of the cork, but the romance of the tab.
Okay, shh.
Yes.
Here we go.
Wow. That's a great sound.
Wow.
So we're trying this for the first time, Gina. While we're tasting this, why don't you describe the wine? Where is the vineyards this Riesling came from?
Yeah, so it's actually right in the heart of Rutherford in the valley floor. It's a super old vineyard for Napa. It was planted about 65 years ago. It's off of Manly Lane, and it sits in between Swanson Vineyards and Staglin. And it's farmed organic, or we like to say beyond organic, as we're not using any sprays on the vineyard, and it's not irrigated either.
And are these old vines?
Yes, very old. So the owner thinks that it's over 60 years old, so about between 60 and 65 years old, which for Napa is really old. Most people after about 30 years will start pulling up or ripping up vines and replanting. So In terms of for Napa, these vines are almost ancient.
So Riesling, though, you don't think about Napa as being a spot for Riesling, but a lot of Riesling was grown, wasn't it, historically?
Yes. Yes, historically, Riesling and other, you know, aromatic whites were widely planted throughout the valley. And now, you know, it's mostly Cabernet or Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, those types of varieties. But, yeah, this is, I think, one of the last few Riesling vineyards in the Napa Valley.
Had you initially bottled this and then decided to also can it?
No, we've actually never bottled any of our wines. My husband, my partner in this, he's bottled plenty of wines before for other projects he's worked on and other wineries he's worked with. But when we started 4 years ago, we decided we were only going to do canned wines. So that's all we've ever done is can our wines.
And pairing Riesling with food, so many people have what's called a Riesling and they say, oh, this is so sickeningly sweet. Yes. I don't like Riesling. And that's as far as they go.
But it's changed, I have to say, because I think we've begun to discover the joys of dry Riesling. And I think one of the, I mean, I'll pipe in about that, is the rise of Asian foods and Asian flavors and all of that. And Riesling is the perfect wine.
Definitely, yes. Riesling, you know, I feel like it's maybe gotten a bad rap because most consumers associate Riesling with being like cloyingly sweet or almost syrupy when it's not. And yes, there are plenty of those styles, but what I love about Riesling is how versatile it is. It can be, you know, it can be bone dry, too sweet, and there's lots of different styles in between that, which make it such a great food pairing wine.
So how would how would you describe your wine? On that scale of dry to sweet?
Ours actually is bone dry. So we fermented ours bone dry. But we did, that was purposeful. And most people, we have to usually tell people that so that they're not, you know, thinking they're going to be drinking something really sweet. But ours is dry. You do get a lot of those nuances of, you know, apricot and some stone fruit. But what I really like about ours is you get really cool notes of like lime and citrus and petrol, which is a very, that's a pretty classic Riesling component or like, you know, for your aromatics or flavor is petrol, which we think we really get off this vineyard.
So what's the response to cans been? What kind of feedback have you gotten?
It's been great. You know, I would say that when we started 4 years ago, it was, you didn't see cans as much on the market. So it took a little more convincing for a lot of wine buyers and or, you know, wine consumers. But now it's very rare that we ever hear that, I've never seen a canned wine before. Or this is the first time I'm seeing one. With everyone, a lot of people now are getting into canned wines. A lot of the big producers are doing them as well. So it's all over now.
This would be good with Thanksgiving.
It would be perfect with Thanksgiving. And part of it it has so much fruit with it that you'd almost swear that there was a little bit of residual sugar in there. But there's not. But I think that's just what makes Riesling really great is it has so many fruit flavors that are associated
and
with it.
And it's nice that it's a lower alcohol wine.
Yeah.
It's 12%, so you can enjoy this throughout the meal. And congratulations, being the first Napa producer to make single vineyard variety, vintage dated canned wines, Sands Wine Company.
Thank you.
So is there any of this Riesling left besides this couple cans we have?
You know, you guys actually got the, we have, of course, we've saved about a case or two of our 2017 for ourselves. And just to kind of see how the wine ages throughout the years. I know you guys had Alan on earlier and he's got, I think, the largest collection of canned wines, and he's got stuff, you know, dating years back. So we've got a couple cases for ourselves. Some of the other states we're distributed in have some of our 17 Riesling, but we're on to our 18 now, which is, you know, same vineyard site, and the 18's delicious too. And so that's that's out in the market. I think we've got Browns Valley Market and Sunshine Foods mm-hmm. over in St. Helena
yep.
that are carrying this, and Oakville Grocery also is they're carrying this as well, because the vineyard's like right down the street from Oakville Grocery. Mm. So
Gina Schober, co-founder yeah. of Sands Wine Company, they're Riesling from the McGill Vineyard in Rutherford, AVA. Congratulations on your best white wine of the first
Thank
ever
you.
International mm-hmm. white wine competition. We are loving tasting this, and we hope our listeners will give it a chance.
So I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
How much does it cost? What is it retail for?
This retails for $15.
Okay.
And it's a half bottle of wine, so it's about 2.5 glasses
okay.
per can.
Okay.
Thanks again. It was wonderful talking with
Thank
you, Gina.
You.
Delightful. 636-1350. If you have a question about wine, call Gina. I'll give you her direct number. We'll take a quick break, and now we will taste, well, not right after this break, the award-winning best red wine for the International Canned Wine Competition. That right after this break.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Sonoma County has become smarter by cutting down on waste, and that includes electronic devices. It's not only good for the planet, it's illegal to dispose of many electronic devices in your trash can. Toxic materials from your TV, laptop, cell phones, and similar devices contaminate the earth when they break down.
Fortunately, Zero Waste Sonoma, in partnership with the Conservation Corps North Bay, holds free e-waste collection events in your community. You can drive up, drop off, and drive on.
The next free event is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Municipal Service Center in Santa Rosa, across from Finley Park on Stony Point Road.
To see a list of acceptable electronic waste and to learn more about recycling programs in your area, visit ZeroWasteSonoma.gov. Then bring your unwanted or broken electronic devices for recycling.
Dispose of your electronics this weekend in Santa Rosa at the free recycling event at the Municipal Service Center, 55 Stony Point Road. Join us as we strive for zero waste in Sonoma County.
Thanks for joining us this morning in the KSRL Wine Cave. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. We've just tasted the award-winning Riesling from the first ever international wine competition, canned wine competition, which was held in Boonville, Mendocino County in the summer. And that was a terrific, terrific can mm-hmm. of wine. It's hard to say a terrific can of wine, isn't it? Just doesn't flow off.
It is, but we were saying off air, you know, poured in a glass, you didn't know where it came from. No association with a can at all.
The award-winning best red wine of the competition was made by the Summerlin Wine Company, and the brand is Insomnia. And on the phone with us is Ron Hill. Hi, Ron. Thanks for joining us this morning. And there we go. Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, it's Steve Garner along with John Ash. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So John is going to open the ceremonial can at this moment.
Right. It's all of that stuff of the romance of the cork, you know, and all that. So we're starting a whole new thing now, the romance of the pull tab.
Here we are.
I just hope it has a nice pop.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
That sounded beautiful. So, Ron, are you based in beautiful Buellton, California?
We are. We are.
And for those listening out of the air, where is Buellton?
Buellton is about 40 minutes north of Santa Barbara, about 16 miles off the coast. We're right in the middle of the San Ynez Valley. So we have wine regions that Santa Rita Hills behind us, Ballard Canyon off to our right, just some spectacular little growing regions that allow us to bring in quite a few interesting little varietals to play with.
And this award-winning red wine is the Insomnia Pinot Noir. While we're tasting it, tell us about the vineyards and how you came to make this Pinot.
This one's a non-vintage. We do a lot of private label custom blending projects for clients. So a lot of times we have remnants of pieces of vineyards that we've sourced for these different projects, and they kind of lay around. And this project here is multi-vintage. It's got some 14, 15, and some 16 in it. The fruit is from, it's got some pedigree, so some of this is from Santa Lucia Highlands, Edna Valley, Santa Rita Hills. Let's see what else. I think that pretty well sums up the three areas where the fruit's from.
And it's 100% Pinot.
100% Pinot, and we just decided to put all these remnants together. And you know, sometimes you get lucky that the sum of the pieces really kind of surprise you. So it's a nice little non-vintage Pinot Noir.
So, what's your experience with this this wine aging? What happens after 5 years, or do you know?
You know, this is interesting. The can supplier that we use has a somewhat 2 year, you know, estimation on the can itself, the seal, and the liner holding. But this is something that we at Summerlin constantly checking these things, putting them through quality control, you know, checking the laboratory numbers to see if there's any degradation because of the liner. So I'm hoping, you know, a good solid year to 2 years of having a nice, bright can product in front of you is a good thing.
So what is the can liner when you talk about that? What's it made of? Or do you know?
You're getting out of my territory, okay. But you know, a food-grade product. It's similar to what's in like Coca-Cola, and your fruit beverages. But the composition of it is designed to hold up to the acidity of wine, the sulfur of wine, and the alcohol, which is, you know, those things are all variable between different wines, and so that's why they are not really sure about how the longevity of a liner will hold up to a particular wine based on its chemistry.
Just want to mention the artwork on the can is startling.
Yes.
Did you have anything to do with that?
No. That's smart work that precedes me from when I came to Summerlin about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
it's one of our national private labels that are out there.
It's very, very clever. Insomnia, more time for wine, and it has the can is of a person that hasn't slept for at least 72 hours.
Yeah.
It's very clever, and this is really good.
It's a post-harvest look.
A post-harvest,
very
good. So it's interesting to do these blends of several years. Are you going to try to replicate this blend in the next canning, and when is that coming out?
Probably not. You know, this is just a project where our sales department, they needed to extend the line of they had some call for a Pinot Noir in a can, and they needed a product really quick. And you know, I just went to the toolbox and was able to pull this blend out, and you know, everybody was happy with it. So we canned it up, and it's out there on the market.
But you're going to continue to make canned wines, is that correct?
Correct. This line extension has the Pinot Noir, Rosé, Sauv Blanc, Pinot Grigio, and a red wine. So
what's the response out in the market? Is it what kind of, do people like the idea? Do you get pushback?
You know, in certain markets, it serves really well. You get into like warmer climates during the summer where there's a lot of outdoor activities, boaters, campers. You see it really move quite well in those areas. I just like it because of the convenience. You know, can throw a couple cans in your pocket, and it's much easier than smuggling a 750 bottle, which is the equivalent to what you're drinking.
I like your thinking. Ron Hill, winemaker for Insomnia's Pinot Noir, the best red wine in the first ever international canned wine competition held in Boonville, that's in Mendocino County, this past summer. Thank you so much for joining us, Ron. It's a pleasure to taste this.
Great. Enjoy.
Ron Hill. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk with one of the best unknown chefs in California.
Well, but she's known.
Okay. Well,
among those who know.
The Cognoscente. We'll be back.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly 2 decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Hi, I'm Carol. As owner of the Gift Horse Home Store, I've assembled an amazing collection of holiday items to create a unique and wonderful season of home decor.
Hi, I'm Carlene. We have some wonderful holiday gift ideas for you. Lodge, a great selection for that special person in your life. Tramontina, offering the best stock pots and roasting pans for your Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. Mention this ad and receive 10% off. Le Creuset, which would make a great gift for anyone, has a house special on the Zen tea kettles. Regularly $80, now $59.99.
The Gift Horse also carries beautiful tabletop, bed, and table linens. If your home is missing that certain something, come to the Gift Horse and you just might find that perfect home accent.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garaday's Hardware in Hillsburg.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Open every day 9 to 6.
Austin here from More Home Services. I want to tell you about a way you can virtually eliminate smoke and airborne particles that are in your home from the recent fires. It's called an air scrubber. And it's a device that connects to your existing heating and cooling system. And like its name suggests, it scrubs pollutants out of the air that are circulating in your home. It uses a high-intensity UVX lamp to kill viruses, bacteria, and mold. And safe oxidizers that attach themselves to any smoke, chemicals, gases, or odors, and neutralizes them as they pass through the air scrubber. It's super safe and affordable. And to help families in the area, we're offering 40% off of our air scrubbers and free installation during the month of November. If your home smells like smoke and you don't know what to do, we can help. To learn more or to book an appointment, call More Home Services at 707-505-8000. That's 707-505-8000. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Hey, Sonoma County, thank you for making Creams Towing the number one rated heavy-duty towing company in Sonoma County. Creams Heavy Duty Towing has the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty rigs in Sonoma County and have been around since the 70s, so they're doing something right. Creams Heavy Duty Towing is on the road 24/7. Got a big rig stuck or need a four-wheel drive tow truck? Creams has the knowledge and experience to tow any and all large trucks. Their goal is to get you back on the road and home safe in the shortest amount of time. Need an RV towed? You guessed it, Creams Heavy Duty Towing can do that too. Their Class A drivers are fully insured and certified in heavy duty towing. Don't scream. Call Creams, 707-588-1250. Creams Heavy Duty Towing, 588-1250.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
In the KS Auto Kitchen, Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner. Would you introduce our very special chef guest?
Yes. Well, this is somebody I've known for how long? 40 years. No, not that long. But for a long time. 20 years, I think, for sure.
For sure,
and,
yes.
And this is May Ebach. And May is an extraordinary chef that kind of specializes in the foods of Asia, but especially Malaysia, where you're from. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
So tell us a little bit, if you can. Don't, you know, you don't have to go crazy with it, but how you got here. It's such a magnificent story. Talk about, you know, in this time in which people coming to a new country and all of that, you came to America, couldn't speak English, couldn't do any of that stuff.
Well, that was seen like another lifetime mm-hmm. ago. You know, I think for any new immigrants that come into this country, you know, we were so seduced by the American dreams. Looking back, it's been almost 30 years since I first landed in the land of California. And, you know, it just takes so much determination and hard work and really have an ambition where you want to go with this American dreams, you know. And I've been kind of lucky in the right place at the right time. And I kind of found my passion in cooking in my mid-40 when I kind of go into a midlife crisis, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just find my calling that that's what I always wanted to do is to be, you know, sharing food and cooking, you know, with students, you know. And my first gig was actually started out in Santa Rosa Junior College mm-hmm. at the Culinary Art Department. And that was the first I kind of laid my seed, you know, on really taking on education in culinary arts.
Well, you've taught at the JC, you've taught at private cooking schools like Ramekins, at Homeward Bound in Novato, that wonderful cooking school. Mm-hmm. So you've had a lot of background in teaching. And you have a new gig that we want you to tell us about.
So I was lucky enough to be offering a job at El Molino Culinary Art about 2 months ago. This is a wonderful program that has started way back in the 1965, and it's been really long going, and it's one of the highlights of El Molino at Forestville High School. The culinary art has always been that kind of highlight, which actually with a lot of students will actually come to the school because of the culinary art department. And in the recent years, you know, things are kind of falling a little bit apart, and so I was really lucky to kind of offer that job to reshape this culinary program and take them to the next steps.
Well, you're also, I think, dealing with teenagers.
That's a whole different challenge, let me tell you.
It's a challenge. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a roller coaster for the last 2 months, you know, teaching high school. But what I found really comforting is to really know that the youth today need more inspiration than ever because of the time they're in with the social media and technology. And food is a way to really bring them together, and it's the only time they actually share and not be on their cell phone and cooking together and tasting and just not, they take them to a world where, you know, healthy food, you know, I mean, kids nowadays tends to eat a lot of junk food and, you know, low calories, you know, empty calorie stuff. And they are more hungry than ever when they feed on those unhealthy calories food. And so this cooking program at El Molino has really brought a lot of students who want to have interest in cooking. And we've done a lot of stuff with them, you know. Like this week, we're doing pie contests, making all holiday pie. And some of these kids have never even had pie in their life. Mm. I have, like, number of students say, Chef May, this is the first time I'm tasting a pie, and let alone I'm making them. So those are things that really comfort me to want to do more for these kids.
So it's that, I think that's fascinating, because I think sometimes we assume that kids today, they're exposed to everything and they know everything about all different kinds of cuisines, but that's not true.
Well, I think there's still a pockets of community and also in families, you know, that was probably for whatever reason they was not exposed to it, you know. And we all kind of wrap up with all this commercial on fast food, you know, and some of the kids that, you know, get on the YouTube and they're watching things that are not really more essential to good food and good eating.
Are you able to bring in your Malaysia, your Thai, your Chinese background into any of the curriculum, or is it, did you inherit a curriculum that you have to stay pretty true to?
Well, I think it's kind of positive and negative in the sense that I'm kind of throwing into the shock of when I first took this job. You know, unfortunately, the last teacher has to leave on the very last short notice. So I came in the middle of semester. So one of the things is that I actually are giving a lot of power and privilege to create my own curriculum and lesson plans, and I intend to take this youth at El Molino Culinary Arts program into the next level and expose them to the world cuisine. And my thing is always on street food, because I grew up in Singapore, and there's such a huge phenomenon of street food in Southeast Asia. So we're even going to have a pop-out like Singapore street food plan after the holidays. And of course, I'm going to invite Steve and Chef John Ash to be one of our tasters and our honorable judge.
Well, you know, I just must to say, you provide more than just a culinary education. So many young people are so geographically challenged nowadays. You ask them, where's Singapore? I don't know. Where's Malaysia? I don't know. So you need to have a globe, or maybe you do have a globe in your kitchen to say, here's where I'm from, and here's the food that I grew up cooking and eating.
You are right. Yeah. You know, I still have pockets of students that say, where is Singapore and where is Malaysia? You know, it's like we're from another planet or something.
Are you able to bring in any of these new ingredients to expose them to your students?
Well, absolutely. You know, in Sonoma County, you are accessible to any kind of world market ingredients, you know, all the great Asian restaurants and, you know, online.
You gave these recipes for the New Year's recipes 4 or 5 years ago, but I went to your website. You still have recipes on your website that look fabulous.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, right? Recipes.
So we were talking before you came on the air. You're going to be teaching a class, a Chinese New Year class, coming up in a month or so. Can you tell us about that?
I'm offering a class at Ramekin Cooking School. It's a school that I'm very in deal with. I've taught there for a number of years. And this time, I want to celebrate the Year of the Rat in January, the week in the 25th. And so it will be a Chinese New Year feast where we're going to really feature some of all the ambiguous dishes of Chinese New Year, the symbolic of why we celebrate Chinese New Year, from making dumplings. In the old day, the dumplings has always represents gold nuggets. As you know, the Chinese love money. Anything that represents money and good luck and gold nugget, we're all going for it. And there'll be also a dish on what we call the yi sang, which is raw fish.
You gave that recipe when you were on the show.
Wow, good memories, Steve. That's like some years ago. And this is a kind of rainbow salad we actually celebrate on the 7th day of Chinese New Year. For all businesses, this is a must to go dish, where they actually toss the salad right in the air and just shout out prosperity and good luck, and make sure all the gold nuggets start coming in to their shops.
Do you know, are you going to do those New Year's cakes that you talked about?
Yeah, those sweet cakes, you know, it's more like a little dumplings. It's also one of those recipe as a dessert.
But not moon cakes.
Not the moon cake. No, moon cake is a different celebration that's doing in the, you know, in springtime.
Didn't realize. But this is going to sell out quickly. People will probably go to the Ramekin's website now and try to enroll in this. Do you know if you can sign up right now or not?
You can definitely call Ramekin's in Sonoma about this class that's coming out. I am not quite sure whether they have posted for the winter calendar on their website. I know they are still in the works. Yeah, for sure. You know, I think this class is going to be sell out, because it's just a fun time.
And it's a hands-on class.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And what about that Buddha's Delight that you had done, that vegetarian dish?
Man, I cannot skip anything from you, Steve.
No, you can't. It's a steel trap up
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and so it's another Buddha delight. It's all those winter roots and sweets that I kind of put into a little kind of pudding like. So it's more on the sweet side, that dish. Yeah. I probably not going to do that on that class because it's very time consuming. You know, there's a lot of components to put that dessert together.
We had Fuchsia Dunlop on the show last Saturday, who's known as the finest teacher of Asian cuisine to the non-Western world.
And Sichuan.
And Sichuan. But she mentioned on the show, we said, where do you look for the greatest Chinese food in the world? And she mentioned a couple places. And then she said, but the Chinese food in Singapore and Malaysia, she said, that may be my favorite Chinese food in the world.
I have to agree with her and with all of you. I think the Chinese food in Malaysia and Singapore is kind of take on to a different level of what the authentic Chinese food is because of the local spices and ingredients. They, you know, and most of the immigrants that settle in Singapore and Malaysia are actually from China. So they really brought in the authenticity in those food and recipe, and then kind of enhance it with the local ingredients, like, you know, the chilies and lemongrass and so forth. And it just tastes different. You know, maybe I'm a little biased, but to me, the street food of, you know, food in Singapore and Malaysia is one of the best in the world.
So one of the things I know, I got to attend a couple of dinners and classes that you did, which is something you know a great deal about, is Nyonya cuisine.
Oh,
what is that?
Nyonya cuisine is a kind of hybrid cuisine that the history that goes with it is that in the early 50s, a group of Chinese from Hakka province, the south, that for economic reasons that came to, that migrated to Malaysia and Singapore. And they all came as a bachelor, as you can imagine, back in those days, right? They don't bring their girlfriends or their wives. So then later on, married the local Malay. And to the interracial marriage, a new cuisine was created because the Chinese immigrants were bringing all their fresh ingredients like the tofu, the noodles, the soy sauce and different type of Asian Chinese cooking, and they kind of integrated with the Malay spices, you know. And so to that is called the Nyonya, and it really kind of remind people the food of love when two cultures kind of merge in together and created something totally different than the local Malay food.
So it's kind of an interracial cuisine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are there dishes that are representative of that cuisine?
Absolutely. You know, like your laksa, the seafood, the famous street food laksa is actually a very authentic recipe of Nyonya cooking. You know, some of the curry like rendang, you know, the braised pork with star anise, you know, a lot. And a lot of this Nyonya cooking is added with lemongrass. They love using lemongrass and ginger and chilies on top of the Chinese ingredients.
So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh.
Where would you go to eat in the Bay Area to get some of the best of, I mean, when you say Asian cuisine, that's such a big. Thing, but some of your favorite Asian-inspired restaurants?
In the city, in San Francisco, I have a few. One of them is my all-time favorite. It's been around for ages. It's called ING Lounge on Commercial Street in Chinatown. And, you know, nowadays, if you go try to go into a restaurant, to this restaurant without a reservation, there'll be a long line out to the door. That's one of my favorite. And then I also have a favorite called Hakka Restaurants. I can't remember. I think it's on Balboa Street. That's another great one. So
is that a Singapore style restaurant?
No, this is a more authentic Chinese.
Hakka is a province.
It's a province
in China.
In China, yeah. There are not a lot of Singapore, great Singapore restaurant in the city, unfortunately. Mm. But there are some really good ones in the South Bay and Emil Peters.
Oh,
that's a couple of good Malaysian restaurant there. Also in Cupertino.
South Bay, yes.
South Bay for sure. I mean, that is really the hub of the I would say the cuisine from all over the world. There's such a wave of immigrants that settle down in the South Bay, and they just open some of the best authentic restaurants there.
I noticed that you have the seafood laksa noodle soup on your website, Malaysia May.
That's right. That's right. Always been my website. Oh, yeah.
So we can do that. And I'm reading from this, and it says the traditional Nonya culture comfort food.
Absolutely. It's almost our to-go street food, you know, growing up eating laksa almost 3 or 4 times a week.
So I had a chance to go with you on, you organized a trip. And we went to Singapore and Malaysia and all of that. And the greatest experience was to go at night to the night markets. And there would be, it seemed like, thousands of stalls and little, I don't know what you call them.
Street food.
Little vendors. Doing street food. And the thing that was so extraordinary, and you pointed this out, was that a lot of those street food people have, they only do one thing. And they've been doing that same thing for decades. And that's what makes it so good. They're not trying to do everything, but you go to this stall to get this.
You know, the phenomenal street food almost become the identity of the street vendor. You know, a lot of time, I remember growing up in Singapore, and I never remember the name of the guy who sell the chicken rice, and we just call him Uncle Chicken Rice, you know. And the Uncle Chicken Rice now is the first street food vendor that won the first Michelin star in Singapore. And if anybody ever visits Singapore, you have to go try this called the Hong Kong noodles and chicken rice street vendor in Chinatown. He is the first street vendor that won the first Michelin star restaurant, and it's now become the huge phenomenal, and there are more and more Michelin star are being awarded to the street food vendors now.
So could I ask my cab driver in Singapore to take me to this place and he would know?
It's totally famous. All you have to say, take me to that Michelin star chicken rice and noodles restaurant. They take you right to it. Yeah.
So did you eat there? Did you eat at this place?
No. Unfortunately, was some years ago. That was before the award was awarded to him when you went to visit Singapore.
So are you going to do any more trips?
You know, I've been thinking about it now that I'm a school teacher. So the only time I have time breaks, it will be in the summer. Oh. But now you kind of give me some excitement to, I want to, create another trip to Asia, to Singapore. That's also another place that a lot of people doesn't know about. It's the island of Penang in the north side of Malaysia. That is really another paradise for street food. Singapore is kind of, always on the on everybody's radar, but Penang Island is one of my best places to visit when it comes to street food as well.
Did you take your group to Penang when on the tour?
I've been traveling for the last 5 months, as some of you know, just going all this Asian country, starting in Singapore to Indonesia, then and now in Penang. Yes.
Yes.
I was very lucky that when I brought this small group of friends with me to Penang, it was during the street food festival, it was phenomenal.
Well, we want to know if you're going to do a tour this summer. We want to head you back on.
Yeah, you guys can be my entourage.
We'll carry your bags.
Yes. Carry my bags.
Well, Chef May, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yes. And good luck at El Molino.
Absolutely.
With those kids.
Well, John, aren't you scheduled to come and do a cooking demo with my student one of these days?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Well, I hope the students, hopefully some of them caught the show today or will listen online to the best of KSRO Good Food Hour and hear their teacher and realize, we need to treat her with a little more respect.
Mm. Oh, I can agree more. Thank you, Steve, for that.
It was great seeing you again. Thank you. Continue this wonderful work at El Molino High School.
Mm-hmm. It's my pleasure.
And John Ash, we will see you next week in the KSRO kitchen.
Yes.
How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be doing, but we'll do something worth listening to. I promise you
that. Absolutely.
Coming up next, following the news, it's Clark Wolf at the table, and then Jeff Davis is on the wine road. Lots of great listening continues all afternoon. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.